Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The first 4 hours were simply in a amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
Yellow.
Oh, boy. Whoop,
dip,
strapping,
dip.
Folks.
So loud.
Strapping. That's how you do a sound check.
Let's go. We have no processing in here, and you guys go.
All right, so we have two things.
And then you start the show, and you go, we're doing a show!
That's you. Come on, Owen. Get your voice under control. By the way, this podcast brought to you by
Clean Up.
Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Make sure not only to log in and listen in. Do people say log in anymore?
Grade the hours of the show today.
Oh.
Hour one, grade.
And not our best.
C plus.
You're being generous.
Well,
the first segment was
the Johnny Manziel thing.
If we're grading on a curve,
I'm sorry. I was so confused. I go, I can't believe I saw in the same day.
I'm so
Deshaun,
so scared.
Deshaun Watson throwing bombs to David Bell, and then in the same day, I'm seeing videos of Johnny Manziel rolling or smoking wombats on the side. I go, oh, that isn't Johnny Manziel. Damn it. All right, so I got to look at that.
But that
I
want to
make sure it was right. We got to make sure we're accurate.
That was the same team that Johnny's on.
That's
how do you
I
get
so.
Two guys
what is it
that look exactly the same?
One. I know. I'm a diehard Zappers
They're
fan.
The Zappers?
Called the Zappers.
Stop you're a
big,
it.
You're a big Zap head.
No, because doesn't the owner of the Zappers have a zapping thing?
Okay. Yes, the owner Dave Zapstadil.
I'll sell all of
Get
your jokes
of
way
here.
Better on this
Get
after my
hell
second
here.
Cup of coffee.
All right, number two.
Hour number two, refresh my memory. What did we get into?
We talked about a little bit of Tony Busby, and then we talked a little bit about David Njoku and Anthony. Oh, and then, of course, we had the Jacoby Brissett interview. I'm going to give that an A. A minus. A solid B. Okay, solid
B. That was a good sports talk hour.
Yeah. 8 o'clock.
Yeah, but the problem is
8 o'clock. We did some nuts and bolts.
I like that
before Mary Kay.
Yeah,
I did like that.
We got down in the trenches with listening to In the Trenches with Anthony Lima
with the Trench Boys with their trench coats. We've got our new podcast concept.
What would you say?
Nothing underneath.
Mary Kay.
Just trench coats.
Mary Kay at 8:20, and then
brought to you by
we got
London
into a Lamar contract. That's an A.
With some galoshes.
That's solid sports talk. That was
yeah,
solid
that was a good
sports
one.
Talk. Fast moving, solid sports talk. 9 o'clock was interesting, but we got into
I loved it.
I loved the
it.
9 o'clock
I loved
segment.
It.
9:20 with the caller who said that Deshaun has to win 3 Super Bowls.
Yep, went off the rails, and I loved
then,
that.
And then the end. You know what? I'm going to give it an A. I'm going to give 2 A's, C plus, yeah, C. C.
Yeah, the only problem
B
is
B plus AA.
The only problem with hour number two is once we got into the black quarterback room stuff, it's
I'm
my fault.
I'm glad you brought that up. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. No, because you started looking at Twitter too much.
Well,
I know.
No,
I know.
But then I tweeted, I have a race war going on right now in my mentions. And all I wrote was, hey, it's okay to just listen to somebody else for a change. Listen to Jacoby Brissett And then fine, if you still want to, if you still want to hate everything about any time race is brought up in America, fine. But listen to Jacoby Brissett. He has a point. Listen to him and see if not if he changes your mind. Because let's be honest, how many times does anybody change your minds? We have never. We have Busby on our station. We have Harden. Does anybody change their minds? No. It's almost like what's the point of having any of these guys on? No one's going to change their minds. And anytime we had anybody talk about Baker, nobody changed their minds.
Nope.
Anytime we talk about anything. The Guardians, the Indians training the Guardians. Nobody changes their mind. Why do we even do a radio show? You know what?
I strike
to do no more radio since nobody changes their mind anymore. What is the point? But you're right. I was looking at Twitter too much, and when I see a race war developing, and here's what Ken does that's smart. He just mutes the conversation. But I want to see the responses. So I continue looking at the responses, and then they get bigger, and then it goes down a path that you can't believe, and it's like, I want to see those responses too. So I wish I had the power to just hit that mute button, but that was my only problem.
If you need to.
I started muting recently, and it's really nice.
There's some conversations that I do think are important to have and try to go through on Twitter, but it just depends on the other person.
Should I not have asked? Should I not, did it derail everything that I even asked him about the black quarterback?
No.
By the way, I didn't go into the interview saying I wanted to ask about it. That came to me. But I'm like, oh, you know what? This is something I've heard them talk about
somebody,
a little bit.
What I got upset about is that there were people going, "What does it have to be a black quarterback room or a white quarterback?" First off, if I would have went all last year saying, "Well, welcome to the white quarterback room," boy, we'd have a serious problem on our hands, I think. But it's also like, listen, it is perfectly fine and warranted, and it should have been asked that you brought up Jacoby Brissett. You brought up the quarterback room being all African-American in the Cleveland Browns facility. Because, again, it's not just about our own personal experiences. It's about theirs. And so if we got to say it again, which we did at 8 o'clock, and you can go back and listen, 92.3thefan.com, it's everybody sits there and goes, why can't they do it? And I've been guilty as well. I've definitely been guilty as well for people in all shapes, sizes, colors, creeds. Or why can't they just do this? It's not the same. It's absolutely the same. No, it's not. It's not. So when we sit there and go, we don't have a problem. Well, to some people, we do. And we don't see other people's history. We don't see other people's experiences. So I don't have the same experience as Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett, who knows in his history? He didn't say. But who knows if somebody in his history goes, yeah, you're a really nice tight end.
Right. Yeah, you can't play quarterback.
Yeah, I want to be a quarterback. You'd make a really nice tight end. The same thing we say about Bill Polian, about Lamar Jackson. I don't want to just say, I don't think Bill Polian's a racist.
But it was a bad thing to say. He's a symbol of it because he famously, a guy that won MVP, he thought should change position.
Yes, and he's a Hall of Famer. Bill Polian's a Hall of Famer. Lamar might be a Hall of Famer.
So it was representing the old guard, even if that's not fair. That's what it was seen as.
Bill Polian is a window. No matter what he says, he's a window into that thinking. That permeated throughout the league and throughout football for generations. So we don't know. Jacoby Brissett's grandfather might have played quarterback in college. Deshaun Watson's grandfather might have played quarterback in college and so on and so forth. And then things change. Or they might have played quarterback in high school and then things quote-unquote change. So yes, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. If I saw things through their eyes, through their entire life, for their 29 years, for Jacoby Brissett, yes, it would be a big effing deal to me. Yes, it should have been asked, and I'm glad you asked.
I'm being dead honest about this, and you tell me if I'm wrong, and maybe I'm now overcorrecting, because that happens. We do, guys, we all have narratives, we all have agendas, we all have people that we tend to side with. Like you go on, you have your political people you go to, you have your sports people. Somebody like Kyler Murray, is there a chance in hell he would have been allowed to play quarterback 30 years ago, looking like him, running like him?
You're saying
with his
size-wise
set,
and everything. Yeah.
Just everything. Well, now in today's world, Tua Tagovailoa, okay? I'm just saying, I think there are a lot of guys right now that now the door's been open. And the whole point is that for many years, these players have been steered in a... Think about how silly this is. We are going to make you play running back because there's no way your amazing gifts translate to quarterback.
Right.
Well, why did they do that? They didn't do that because they could help them more as a running back. What high school team, what college team would rather have their dynamic athlete play running back than quarterback? No, they were saying it because they didn't think certain guys could handle it upstairs. Where did they get that from?
Which is the worst thing ever.
How ridiculous. Guys, that is where this all started. And
did
it,
you say
it's
where did they get that from?
Where did they get that thought? Would a coach
have you read a history book?
Well, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Coaches would do anything they could to put the best players, the most athletic players in their most key positions.
Yes.
Except they wouldn't let them play quarterback. And furthermore, a lot of places that did the hiring wouldn't let those guys be the head coaches.
Right.
So that's why, if you're wondering why it was a big deal when Lovie Smith and
Tony Dungy
were the first African-American head coaches. And I know you don't want to hear about it every day. I know that fans are like, see, this is the media wants you to talk about race and divide our country. No, but we want to learn from mistakes. And as an evolved society, we want to learn and talk to people that have different worldviews, different perspectives. Yes, me and Ken, growing up where we did in our high schools, and Owen, I can't speak for you,
Well, that's part of it. I just assume he grew up that way because he comes from Collins, Oklahoma.
A town of 900 people in Oklahoma.
Which is probably not right to do.
I imagine AA has a very different life experience in his high school than we have in ours. Everybody has different experiences. So I don't think we have to just look at somebody when somebody mentions black quarterback room and go, oh my God, I hate this. Woke, worldview, terrible, different, politics, MSNBC. Like, maybe just listen to Jacoby Brissett. That's all I was saying. I don't think that needed to be a race war in my Twitter mentions. That's all. This podcast brought to you by Extend Technologies.
You know I agree with you. You know I agree with you, you bastard.
Have Tony come over.
You know that.
Somebody asked.
What else you want to get into?
Somebody did ask. Well, I did want to know: How far gone are you with this year's NBA playoffs? That I get excited to talk NBA playoffs every day, and then seems like nobody wants to talk about.
Last series, I was really excited last series, and I'm kind of just waiting for the finals now. I think that Boston's going to give it a good series, give it a good go. I think Golden State's going to win the whole thing. But I'm really excited to talk about that. Which, by the way, speaking of like the whole wokeism thing and stuff like that, this is why social media is. It can stand for good. There's good things that can be happen, but it can be like a change thing. Like there were some people who go, Ken, what did you say about Steve Kerr? And then you hear his strong message and go, guys, we do understand there's a difference between sports hate. I don't hate Steve Kerr personally. I don't. And then there was another argument that started on mine. About Steve Kerr, and didn't he say that this was good? I go, I don't know, guys. This is a good message. These are trying times. These are scary times for all of us here. Maybe just let him get it off his chest. You can get whatever you want to off your chest. That's fine. We can talk about this.
Do we not all have inconsistencies, by the way, about anything we've ever said?
Constantly.
I mean, man, if you have only consistencies when it comes to anything in life,
that's ain't good.
I have to question whether you ever talk to other people or listen to other people. Like, people change my mind all the time. Smarter people than me. People that have very different experiences, people that grow up in different places, like they changed my mind because that's not what I've known. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always surprised. I do get it. Like, you know, there's going to come a time where, all right, my views are pretty rigid, right? Like at some point when you turn, you know, 55 or 60, I get it. You're probably not going to change your mind on a whole bunch of things. You probably have a pretty rounded out, fleshed out view on things, but I feel like at 40, I'm still changing my mind a lot.
Yeah. Also,
I mean, it's because I don't stand for anything.
I think you stand for certain things. Not everything. Do we stand for everything?
You almost have to now. That's a sad thing.
Why? Because of this?
Right.
The thing I'm looking at right now?
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares? Like that, I did have a brother. When it came to some of the stuff going on, and I did mention this yesterday on TV. I struggle with social media when things like this happen. What is the good? Or excuse me, there is good, but what is the goal by the person? What is it, likes and retweets?
Yes.
Is it agenda?
It's likes
and retweets. Is it all of the above?
It's likes and retweets.
It's likes and retweets.
I mean, Kenny, we just had another school shooting, and I told you Twitter was the exact same that was after the last one.
Exactly.
There were no differences.
And it's but
it played out identically.
But I'll tell you this, Tone. Like I looked at what Myles Garrett said, and this is why I'm proud of I swear to God, I'm proud of Myles Garrett. He doesn't know me very well at all, or you very well, but this is why I love covering him, because you can just tell like there's so much. I'm more excited for Myles Garrett. I want to see what Myles Garrett does after football. I think there's so much untapped potential in there. I'm excited. I want to see him dominate and be incredible on the football field and have a Hall of Fame world-class career and do all those great things. But when it's done, I want to see what Myles Garrett does after football, because there's thought-provoking stuff in there. There's smart stuff in there. I want to see it. And I was proud of him expressing his opinion. And I think that needs to be – I'm torn, because I think it needs to be cultivated and helped, because I look at some of the things and I go, well, we're doom scrolling, and this is a tragedy and awful, awful stuff.
I never heard that. That's pretty good.
Well, it's
doom scrolling.
That was talked about constantly during the pandemic. Constantly. I can't believe you never heard that. Yeah. You made a joke.
No.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's
you never heard that?
It's
constantly
not my lexicon.
During the pandemic. Because I did. I accused some people of they just lived on Twitter and lived for the next terrible thing they could read about the pandemic. It was scary. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you guys. I went on meds during the pandemic. It was terrifying to me.
Why didn't you share any? You never asked me if I wanted any.
Personal meds. Those are personal meds.
It's a show, Ken.
Yeah.
We gotta be able to share things
throughout the
show.
Yeah, that's
well,
a violation.
You bring them in, put them on the table.
Yeah, I feel betrayed.
Do you really want to share these drugs? I mean, golly.
I don't know what you got, but we'll be talking when the mics go off.
And that's when I looked. It was really then, and I told you the 2016 presidential election. When I go, this isn't real. This isn't real. And that's what I got so upset about in 2020, because I go, why am I looking at this constantly? Why am I staring into my phone? I go, I still have my children around me. They're home. We're all home. Mm-hmm.
You've got what you need.
I didn't know I'd be working 18 hours a day in the future, but here we are. And I'm glad that I got to spend time and I realized that, because there were some things that this sucks and some of this stuff is out of our control and we just have to live with it. And I can't spend time all day online telling people whether they're right or wrong. And usually people just use social media to try to dunk on each other. And it's just pointless. It's just one great big sewer drain to me. But that's where people find their voice. That's where people feel that they are important and heard, and they need to be heard, and that still needs to be protected. Where I say, don't stop thinking, don't stop praying. You can't do either of those things. You can't stop. You just, because people say thoughts and prayers, that doesn't matter anymore. Well, you start at thoughts and prayers and then you do something, but you got to start somewhere. So many people just stop after thoughts and prayers, because they probably just want likes and retweets.
Yeah, and they get them.
And they just, hey, I was on the record about this, and that's all. You just can't, you got to start at thoughts and prayers, and then you move on about your business, and you try to make something happen. You try to make change. You know, that's where I am on that. But when I look back at some of this stuff, I just feel like, hey, get your voice out there. That's fine. Go ahead and do that. But there's a lot of things when I just pick up my phone, and I just see some of the stuff, and, you know, it's like I said before, when we first found out, I use this as an example, when we first found out about the Browns snooping around Texas and thinking about getting Deshaun Watson, I said in passing at first, and we said it on the air, I go, I'm uncomfortable. And you go, oh, Ken. And then I brought up after the Roethlisberger, the Monday night game, I go, I don't know why I'm so damn uncomfortable, I just am, but I know that if he were to play, eventually we'll just move on and everything will be whatever. And I was still uncomfortable, and I said I was uncomfortable, to the point where, like, I don't want, you know, people go, Ken, you mentioned your kids. I mention my kids because I don't want them to victim shame someday. Like, there is truth. I know that there's people who lie, and they lie for personal gain, but there is truth. Just like I don't want them to say Deshaun Watson's a monster, I don't want them to say that all the women are liars. I don't want that. And that conversation is in our face every single day. But ultimately, what that is, it's entertainment. And that's a strong word to use, but that's what it is. In his world, it's real. In Deshaun Watson's world, it's real. With the accusers, it's real. But for everybody else, for me, for you, it's not. It's theater. The phone is theater. Tweets are theater. I think that there can be good. I think that there can be.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, perfect strangers have reached out after Mother's Day. I'll say that. Perfect strangers have reached out and said nice things about my mother and things like that, about stuff I've said on this show and on TV. And that's, to me, a very nice thing. But if I get some guy, or what I assume is some guy, you know, with a, you might have like a Rick and Morty avatar or something like that, saying, "Have a salad, you fat pig." Like, what am I really supposed to get mad about that? Am I really supposed to be upset about that? Like, this isn't real. Would that guy say that to me? How many different accounts is that guy, I assume guy, how many different accounts does that have? This isn't real. What is said here, this is entertainment. It can be real. It can be powerful. But for the most part, it's not. But it doesn't stop you from saying something that you believe is important and then taking action.
But what's incredible is the it's not real part. I'm glad that me and you can at times, not always, disassociate ourselves from that fake world, that other portal that is the social media stuff, and we're able to do it for the most part. We might need some help at times, like you said. Maybe you've had to put it down. Maybe you had to take meds, stop from doom scrolling and see all the negative and find some good things and maybe hug your family members and actually say, "Hey, look, we're building a family here. That's pretty cool. Like, I don't have to live in this space, and it's voluntary. I can put it down, even though we have responsibilities with the station, but I can put it down."
But that's the thing. I don't want to, because there are people who do take it seriously, and I try to respond to as many people as possible, because it's not an act. I feel I try to be helpful and nice to 98% of the people I come in contact with, unless they're not helpful or nice to me, and I just don't want that to ever not be the case. So part of that is that, yes, I try to respond to just about everything, but there are times where it's just like, I'm going to tweet this thought out and mute, because I don't need it. I don't need to spend the next hour laying in a bed or laying on a couch. Mm-hmm. Responding to a stranger.
Yeah, but
there's good that can happen there, but it's usually
there is good. There absolutely is good. And there's tons of good with social media and bridging gaps and exposing ideas to people and plenty of things and education. There's no doubt. There's really good aspects of social media. The bad part that I'm nervous about is you hear the term radicalizing. You've been radicalized. Well, that's now been a new term that can be politicized. But I really feel like people are getting angrier over this stuff. I really do. And I think social media is a big part of it. And I think that's why when you see crowded places like airplanes and airports and malls or restaurants, like, you're seeing it play out, man. People are going right from social media and the anger
they're carrying it over to real life.
And I don't know that that stops. I don't think it ever stops. I don't care if Elon Musk is running Twitter and there's no bots or not. Maybe that can help. Maybe that part of what Elon Musk was trying to do, if he ever actually does it, would help. But in the end, like, I don't know how the toothpaste goes back in the I honestly don't know. I really don't know how you can ever set the clock back on that. I don't. It's turning into one of our biggest weaknesses.
It would
as a society, like how social media has shaped who we are, what we feel.
But it's also to whom, to how many. To what part of society? You know, we're given stats that out of our listenership, less than what, 5% of our listeners
are actually fully engaged on there. Yeah,
is fully engaged on Twitter. Maybe they have a Twitter account and they read. Less than 5% of the people we talk to.
But Facebook's doing it too.
Facebook's much bigger. Facebook is much bigger, and you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong about
that. You can win elections now.
I understand that.
Spreading misinformation on Facebook.
You're
like,
not,
you really can.
You're not wrong.
Oh, both sides, by the way. I'm not. That's not a one-sided thing.
I understand.
Other countries are using that against us.
You're not wrong about that. But it took me a while to realize, like, this just isn't real. I've never, like, this type of thing, I've never got a job because of Twitter.
But other people have.
And when I first started, some people have. But how many of those people, I mean, honestly, how many of those people have been really successful 5 years down the line? How many, like, they might have got a contract.
We're still monitoring Emmanuel Acho.
How many of those people have been really successful? Well, he has the pedigree. He played.
I know.
He played
know.
The game. So there's always going to be a place for a guy who is smart and play the game.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people. I mean, how many people?
Just strictly off of social media interaction getting jobs?
Yeah. How many people on social media got a Netflix special
that bombed? Oh, my God.
And got $10,000 for a Netflix special. It bombed. No one watched it, and that's
it. Oh, my God. Some horrific specials just based on what people did. Because of social media.
I did
not
get a job based on Twitter. I ass off on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that when someone sends me a really nice message, I know they mean it. And I'm sincere when I send something back, or they're concerned about something we said or concerned about something we did. I will hear them out. There is a realness to it. But for the most part, it's ass it off. And for the most part, I try to do it less and less and less. Because, frankly, as we move on along our careers, it's only going to get us in deeper and deeper trouble.
Oh, yeah.
What am I? If some guy comes up and goes, Ken, you're a fat freaking pig, and your wife's... I've had... Like, when we made fun of Mueller, mm-hmm. and it was a work, and Mueller hung up. Now, yeah, I didn't know Mueller was going to hang up, but, guys, we're friends
with
Chris
Mueller. But we're going to screw with him.
And we're going to screw with Chris Mueller, and that's the way it worked. One of the guys over there used it as an opportunity to put himself over. And hey, that's fine. It's all part of the business.
But we don't know him.
But I got people sending me tweets calling my wife. One guy called my wife, what was it, a BBC whore, and said he had pictures. And he just kept sending me tweets.
It's a good channel.
He just kept sending me.
She watched Mr. Bean?
This was in the morning. This was in the morning, like a couple of weeks ago. I'm just doing the show with you, and my phone, my computer just going, dut, 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 and it's Liz Carmen's this, and Liz Carmen's that, and Liz Carmen's this, trying to send me pictures. I go, what if I respond to this person? What
oh,
do
my
I say?
God.
What do I
there
say?
Is no, there's
I,
no
what,
response.
What response do I say? What do I get out of this response?
And I don't even know if you can disarm a person like that.
No,
well, the best,
and
I know,
like that?
I know my interactions are way fewer than you guys. You guys have tons of interactions every day, but my favorite thing to do when somebody sends something, it hasn't been that graphic in nature, but they send something that they know they're trying to get a rise is no response, because you know they're waiting. Like, when's he going to see it?
And then
when's
he
going
to
respond?
I still fall for it.
When's he
going to
respond?
I weigh all the time. If I don't respond, I win. I don't respond, I win. And hit send. Still hit it. Still do it.
There's certain ways I'm happy with that win. I know some people can't live in that reality, but...
I will have back and forth with certain... I remember... I couldn't help it. I tweeted about Jim Halpert, and somebody took it seriously. Yeah. A Browns account. Fan.
Oh, people get very upset
and
about your opinions.
I got
over there.
On my White I got treat. On my phone. I was mowing. I got on my phone. I took a little break as I was getting the yard sweeper out. And I got on my phone. The person said something really mean and deleted it. And I'm like, what? The last? And then he said something back, or she. I have no idea who it was because it's a fake account.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what? The first message wasn't mean enough. You had to go back and craft a meaner one. And I sent a video of me laughing. This is a gag. This isn't real. There's 95% of the things that I look at on social media are just not real. I got Tron Madden. Tron Madden, by the way, is having a hell of a season.
It's incredible.
And I can't.
He's putting it all together.
But he knows.
He's having a Brady Anderson season.
He sends us things. Tron
50.
Madden will send
he's
us things.
He's about to hit 50 right now.
Chris Hanning on Twitter, mm-hmm. who I've had good back and forth with. And
I've had
bad
back and forth
with.
Good and bad, yeah.
He will send things that I know I cannot respond to because other people will take it seriously.
Yeah, they see it. Yeah, you have to be careful on that stuff.
They take this website seriously, so I can't respond to it, but we will turn the mics off, and I will laugh my ass off.
We do laugh. As much as
I have a dark sense of humor.
By the way, as much as we sound right now like we hate social media, we turn our mics off every day, and go, did you see that one right there?
Yep.
Like a caller will be talking. We will have not, we already know where the caller's going. We're like, I don't need to hear this again. Well, it's a grand jury. They didn't, okay, we know what he's going to say. Put it on mute and me and Ken start dying about someone making fun of us or making fun of somebody at the station or whatever. So it's not that we're humorless. We have to pick and choose our spots. Yes. We do, obviously, on the
air. And there have been times where I've had to remind myself, this is another thing, and this is where, this is part of the reason where I love social media, but I also hate it, and I have to continuously balance myself with it. There's such a thing as context. So I make jokes about myself constantly, and I make jokes about you, and you don't weigh in on my weight very much. I'll give you that. You don't, because you just think that's low-hanging fruit, and you're just not going to do it. But there's a lot of people, like, they jump in, and for a second I want to get really nasty with them on social media. I go, are they just in on the joke? And they did, like, hey, if Lima's going to make fun of Ken or Owen's going to make fun of Ken, AA never makes fun of me. He can if he wants to, by the way. He's open to it.
He doesn't know how to.
But if, like, it, when Kid would roast me about my weight all the time, Owen doesn't as much because Owen feels like he's the pot calling the kettle black, so he doesn't. But if Owen looked like Dan Menigan, and he was in that position, I'd hear a lot more fat stuff. Which, again, you can play fat, Owen. Remember,
well, no,
everybody making fun of me,
but
not
it's
you.
It's the same. I feel the same way with Lima. Sometimes it is low hanging fruit. It's like, it's not that I'm above it or anything. It's just we got other things to do. Let's get to that.
But
stuff,
when people
you know?
Send it, and I go, okay, like you got to understand. Like I talk to myself, go, Ken, you got to understand. They're in on the gag. They're in on the show. So, and this is how they communicate. They could send an email, they could Facebook, they could write a letter, but they're on social media. And
we've thought about going back to email, but it's just not as fun. Email, you can add perspective, and we really do see guys are like, all right, you know, here's my thought on this. I want you guys to weigh in, but it just doesn't have that immediacy. Like, I come into emails, and I'm like, when were these emails sent? I have no idea.
Yeah, and I do get a little worried, too, when we talk about this, because I don't want to talk about social media too much. I don't want to talk about the show and like the inside sausage too terribly much, but I do think on the podcast it's probably the
it's,
if there
perfect.
Is an appropriate time to do it, this is the appropriate time to do it. Because I mean, I used to sit there and like, oh man, I'm up to 5,000 followers, I'm up to 10,000 followers, and it just doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. Reflog sent me a message last week, and he did an audit.
And on got, all of our accounts, yeah.
And we have, what is it? I got like
30%. I had 35%.
Or according to this audit, of like the robots.
I think Ken's was 34 and
dude,
yours
I'm
was
getting,
32.
Dude, I'm getting a new OnlyFans woman every day now that's adding
now
me.
That's still.
And I've added every single one of them back. No.
Oh,
now,
I got a new first last night. I got
there's still value. Because if I send out a notification to go, hey, we got Daryl coming on at 8:20, you're going to want to listen to this. He has breaking news. Well, it's still going out to thousands of people who do use it.
Yeah, there are still a ton.
But it's just like, there's no reason to get caught up in any of this. Because someday, like Elon Musk, he bought it. He'd just go in and go, hit the button and turn it off. And then what are we going to do?
We don't know if he's following through on that, by the way, now.
But he could always do it if he wanted
no,
to.
No, I know. You're right.
He could always just come in and go, oh, I'm done with this website, and I just bought it because I can. Goodbye. And end the website. He could just end it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he would, but he could. And somebody else would start a new Twitter, but there we are again. One follower, two followers, three followers. It doesn't matter. It's not real.
Speaking of, like, just when you found Twitter, so I was running a very successful, popular, and profitable website called CursedCleveland.com.
Yes.
And the URL has expired, but I was looking for work. I was trying to find a TV job back at the time. I had just finished Syracuse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just going to screw around. And back then, there were only a few really successful sports websites. They were Deadspin. They were the Joe Morgan one.
Yep.
What was not Joe Morgan? Was it what was the Joe Morgan website back in the day? There was the I'm With Leather, and there was the Big Lead. There weren't a ton of big-time site.
I have no idea.
So I had...
I was reading a tweet sent to me.
Oh, go ahead.
Thought it'd be good for the podcast. No. After
okay,
you.
So I ended up... I remember one of my early posts was when Twitter burst onto the scene. So I made a fake post, like an onion-like post, about Eric Mangini, because he was the coach at the time, I think. It was an Eric Mangini Twitter account. Like, Eric Mangini's on Twitter. This is before anybody I knew was on Twitter. Nobody was. We
fire
just thought,
Joe Morgan.
We fired Joe Morgan. But this was the latest. This was the latest technology, Twitter at the time.
What is one more and, fire Joe Morgan?
No, that was the name of the blog. Because it was a bunch of media
Mike
criticism.
Schur. Yeah. Mike Schur made it. Successful Mo Schrute made it.
Really successful television showrunner.
He's the guy that he's created a ton of NBC shows. He played Mo Schrute
on The
Office.
Didn't know. Back then, you didn't know who was running the blogs. You didn't know that a lot of these people were comedy writers.
Well, I will tell you, this is totally off. I listened to a podcast. The guy that helped create Parks and Rec, his name's Alan Yang. He's done a ton of other stuff. He actually got a job in TV writing because he used to comment on that website all the time.
That was happening in the primitive years of the blogs, right? So you didn't know. You thought all these people were total, like the big lead, Jason McIntyre. He was a columnist.
He was some
He was a columnist for ESPN2 that was looking to get stuff published and whatever. But you didn't know that at the time. So I was messing around with this on Curse Cleveland. I had like a little following. I had like 1,000 people every day.
Really?
And then I had some people that hated because I was trying to be funny and I was trying to work on my comedy chops, but also write some legitimate stuff. But I remember doing a parody on Twitter on Eric Mangini's Twitter account. I created an Eric Mangini fake Twitter account, and I had some funny material in there. But I didn't know back then it was just what you were eating, what you were watching. That was Twitter. There was no political, because there weren't enough people on it. Mm-hmm. But looking back at those days of primitive, back-in-the-day Twitter, and then comparing it to what it was 4 years later, where it became a site for live sports opinion, it was awesome. It was like, instead of having to refresh a blog in the comment section, which is what you would do back then, or message boards, it was just on Twitter. It kept populating. Then what happened next with Twitter? Twitter became the best search engine in real time known to mankind. It was better than Google. It was. You could see what people were saying about a TV show, about a sporting event, and then became politics. Mm-hmm. And then you lost me. I mean, I'm still on Twitter, obviously, but the fun was gone. Once the politicians got on, once everybody started weighing in, and then COVID, goodbye. Goodbye, I'm never going to be on Twitter as much the rest of my life. I mean, I'm still on it for the job and still seeing what's on and still seeing reaction and still conversing with fans. All that is still happening. And now I have a little bit more of a life. It'll never be what it was 8 years ago for me.
I agree with you. I think it's just become a lot of crazy people standing out on the corner shouting from a soapbox. Standing on a second floor window shouting from their window. Like, you know, on a second floor apartment shouting from their window. For nothing to hear. And I think it's lost its way. I think we've become, because of social media, we've become more, we want to hear ourselves more than we want to hear others. We want to be heard more than we want to listen to others. And again, I cannot stress this enough, and this is why when I say words, like, I've become upset about the dunking. I think people take words and they turn them into what they want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to listen for context anymore. They don't want to listen to reasoning anymore. And so there is a bad road that it's going down. And I will respond to people as much as I can. But I find myself putting out stuff less and less. Because there's just very little reward, if any, out of it. The thing I like to do is promote. I just, once I got done living for the retweet and wanting 100 retweets from every single thing, because I realized, and I've seen this, that's going to get me in a lot of trouble someday.
Just get you in more
gonna
trouble?
That's going to get me in a lot of trouble. Denny Hamlin, the NASCAR driver, is in sensitivity training right now because of something he sent to Kyle Larson, who had to go through sensitivity training. He sent what was considered an Asian slur to Kyle Larson because Denny Hamlin wanted to be funny on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Denny Hamlin has employees who get their health insurance,
yep,
who get their
yep
salary,
yep,
who
important
depend on his business. Mm-hmm. He has he owns Bubba Wallace's car. You know how many sponsors Bubba Wallace has this year that will be on his car? Nine sponsors. Remember the day, I'm saying this for a reason, 9 sponsors sponsor Bubba Wallace's car this year at different times. Freaking 9. That's where NASCAR is right now. There was a day, Mark Martin, Valvoline, Dale Earnhardt, GM Goodrich, Jeff Gordon, DuPont, You knew that. They were on every single week, and that's been part of the problem there. But the reason I say it is it illustrates Denny Hamlin had people going after him, going after his job, going after his business.
And his
sponsors. He wanted to be funny on social media. There's no context. He and Kyle Larson may joke all the time. I don't know him. I don't know them. But it lands flat to people who don't know them. So what's the point of having some great big inside joke for the public to see?
Better just text each other.
When it can get us in a lot of trouble. That's why I can't believe I say it. But you got guys out there, one who has been accused of double murder, and we know who I'm talking about, who videos everyone he sends. Mm-hmm. And it's actually brilliant because there's context. He's a crazy person, but there's context to it. Which when if I send something out and I said, Anthony Lime is a really nice guy, end of tweet. What does that mean? They read that 80,000 different ways. So who really knows? And that's where I stand on that. Now, I want to get to something from the last podcast. I asked real quick. I know we're running here. I said, at that time, two people have come to me in dreams in the past month. That and a deep dive in the Browns. And I, you know, somebody had said to me.
Oh, I saw this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.